Welcome to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm Brittany Nicole. I'm a life coach, and I work specifically with women who are recovering from covert abuse. This episode, I want to talk about the art of verbal self-defense. Now, first of all, let me break down what I even mean by verbal self-defense, because it's kind of a made-up phrase. I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of self-defense, and if you've listened to my episodes before, you know your girl loves a definition. So let's technically define self-defense, and then we can get into what verbal self-defense is. Self-defense is a set of techniques, strategies, and skills that individuals use to protect themselves from physical harm or from potential threats. So verbal self-defense is kind of the same. It's a communication skill set, and in that skill set, you would have tools to assertively, confidently, effectively express your thoughts, your boundaries, your desires, all that kind of stuff. And I think this is such an important skill to master, particularly as women, because we are conditioned to be appeasing. We are conditioned to be accommodating. We get the message all the time, directly or indirectly, that being outspoken is unattractive. And most of us are nowhere near being outspoken. A lot of times we are keeping a lid on our basic needs, our boundaries, simple things that we want, just so that we're not perceived as bossy or controlling. And even when we do speak up and we don't listen to that voice in our head telling us say yes just to be nice and avoid a conflict, when we actually do say no, we feel bad about it. I mean, I know I'm not alone in helping out that friend who always needs help and who never appreciates it, because it's easier to say yes than it is to deal with feeling bad for saying no. Tell me you haven't worked through lunch 1, 2, 3, 7, 10 times because it was too difficult to say, hey, I'm actually overwhelmed. I've got too much on my plate. Can so-and-so help with this? And so you just take it on and you take time away from yourself that you actually need. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Who told us that we have to operate this way? And we all do it. Listen, I don't know about you, but mother is tired. I'm done. And I want you to be done too. So let's break down how to build the skill set of verbal self-defense. First of all, very, very first of all, you need clarity. If you are unclear on what you need, if you're unclear on what you want, if you're unclear on what your boundaries are, you can't advocate for yourself. You can't advocate for anything. You're like an activist with no cause. But I have a thought on clarity. And here's my thought. I feel like when it comes to boundaries and needs specifically, and a lot of conversations I have with women, they're clear on their boundaries. They're clear on what their needs are. Especially, you know, when your boundaries have been violated consistently and your needs have been neglected enough, you become very clear on what you don't want. I think what we struggle a lot harder with is going toward what we do want. I think we struggle with feeling safe to have desire for things we don't already have. So really, that's my question to you. What's your relationship like with desire? When you want something, do you fully allow yourself to want it? Or do you automatically shoot it down with reasons why you can't do it, have it, be it, whatever the case is? And I feel like I need to say this for the prudes in the back. Desire is not just about sex, okay? Desire is anything you want that you don't have. For example, going back to work, if you're overwhelmed at work because your coworkers are not carrying their weight, your desire might be for relief or for more time or maybe for a different job. So Do you feel entitled to have what you desire? And I love the word entitled. I love the word entitled because it has a certain audacity to it. You know, you have to think of yourself a certain way to feel entitled to something. And that's the question. Do you feel entitled to have what you desire? Do you feel entitled to state your boundaries? Or do you feel like your boundaries are a burden? Do you feel entitled to have your needs met? Or do you feel like your needs are unreasonable? You kind of have to work that out before you can even start to speak up for yourself. Because if you're not clear on that, it doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. So I want to talk a little bit about entitlement, but I'm going to use the word audacity, actually. So in addition to getting clarity on your needs, I think you have to really cultivate an attitude of audacity, an attitude of, who said I can't? An attitude of, why not me? You know? So I'm going to give you a journaling practice for cultivating audacity. I want you to write down something that you desire. Maybe it's a goal. Let's say the goal is moving out of state. So I want you to write down all the reasons you can think of on why you can't move out of state. If that's not your example, obviously write down your own example. I'm just using that for the purpose of explaining. So if your goal is to move out of state and you're writing down all the reasons that you can't move out of state, that might be something like, I don't want to leave my family, or I don't have the money. Now, I know this sounds counterintuitive. Just stay with me. Here's why you want to do this. First, it's important to expose your negative subconscious beliefs. Those are the things that are in the way of your desire that you might not even know are in the way of your desire. So unearth those and get clear on like what's keeping you from fully feeling an embodied sense of what it is that you want. After you do that, after you write down all the reasons that you can't have what you want, reframe it. You don't have to do this all at once. You can, you know, do the negative stuff one day and then the reframe the next day, or you can do it all at once if you want. But part two of this exercise is to reframe that. Write down the thing you want. Again, in this example, it's moving out of state. But I want you to write down how you would make this desire come to life if you knew you couldn't fail, if you knew there were no consequences, if you knew that there was absolutely a 100% guarantee that you were going to have this thing. What are the steps that you would take to acquire it? This is what I call a thought experiment. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're going to have an answer or an exact plan quite yet. It's actually not even about that. What it is kind of like clearing the cobwebs in your brain. You're stretching your imagination. You're giving your brain a problem to solve. And once you turn that creative engine on, your brain will begin looking into your environment for solutions. This happens without your conscious awareness. It's amazing, really. So get in a practice of allowing yourself to conceive of getting what you want. And doing this is the beginning of building audacity. Okay, so verbal self-defense. We talked about getting clear on your needs, getting clear on your boundaries, getting clear on your desires. Practicing the audacity to actually believe you can accomplish your desires. That's the mindset part. Let's talk about the actual defense part. So, story time. I used to work in IT. I did desktop support for several years. And your girl was not meant for IT at all. I hated it. Okay? I hated it. However, I feel like I accidentally sharpened my most powerful verbal self-defense tool there. And that is asking questions in the right order. When you work help desk in IT, you see a lot of the same tickets that users have, a lot of the same issues over and over and over and over again. And a lot of the time, what's annoying about the job is not fixing the problem. That was annoying to me. Fixing the problem was annoying to me because I'm not an IT girl. But for IT people, fixing the problem is not like the annoying part. That's the fun part. But what everybody agrees is actually the annoying part is dealing with users, particularly users who think they know more than you do. So you develop this kind of finesse to be able to communicate with people. You learn to ask questions in the right order so that the user can see the answer for themselves and without you having to embarrass them. And then they go to your manager and say that you're rude. It's a whole thing. So yes, the skill is asking the right questions in the right order. And there is not, this is an art. It's not a science. So unfortunately, you know, there's not a set list of questions I can give you to ask in a certain order that will work every single time. But if there is one question you must, and I mean must master, it is this one question. Why? Ugh, why? Why is a beautiful, eloquent, and dangerously simple question. I love it. I love it. I'm obsessed with why. Let me tell you why. Why is powerful. First of all, it's information gathering. Okay, asking why can help you gain a deeper understanding of the other person's perspective, their point of view, their motivations. It allows you to seek clarification and discover the underlying reasons behind their statements or their actions or, you know, whatever is going on. And that's really good. You want to get as much information as possible to arm yourself with your next steps, your next questions, your next words. Why also conveys empathy, and it conveys a genuine interest in understanding the other person's point of view. This is good because it can establish rapport even in potentially tense situations. Now, I will add a caveat to this. Have a genuine why, like have a genuine sense of curiosity. And that requires having somewhat of an open mind. When you ask somebody why, and you're not actually listening to their answer, or you're not actually looking to their answer for information as to what your next steps would be, it's useless. The why's got to be real. There's got to be a real curiosity behind the why. I'm not saying that you have to like be emotionally invested and deeply connected with your heart to what the other person is saying. You might be pissed off. But if you're asking why in a confrontation, that arms you with information, and try to have a genuine sense of curiosity about that. So why is cool because it's nice and kind and cute and sweet and it makes people feel good, right? But it's also sharp. Why is sharp? It gives you an edge. Why gives you an edge to challenge assumptions, to challenge statements? It empowers you to turn your attention outward, which to me, that's where the magic is. When you're in a situation where you feel like your boundaries may be overstepped or disrespected, and this is an uncomfortable situation for you, your body is probably flooded with adrenaline and cortisol, you are sweaty and anxious and overly aware of yourself. All of your attention, all of your focus is on yourself right now in this moment. That is not the strongest position for you to be in. A much stronger position for you to be in is to have your attention turned outward and asking why. A simple one-syllable question gives you an opportunity to turn your attention and turn your energy outward. This gives you back a sense of control, and depending on how it's executed, it can give you a sense of dominance and a sense of power too. So remember those things. Get clarity. Practice having audacity. Ask why. And ask why again. And ask why again and again and again. I think that's also one of my favorite things about why is it's never ending. It is never ending. You can tear somebody down with why, man. I'm telling you. Anyway, that's all I have for today. But before you go, if you're in the Atlanta area, I am teaching a 2-hour workshop on this very topic. We'll be going much more in depth on the art of verbal self-defense. What we're going to be covering in the workshop is how to start saying no without feeling guilty, how to embody a dominant, oh, like you really want the smoke type of energy, and how to ask for what you actually want. This is an interactive embodied style class. So if you are planning on coming, come prepared to laugh, to move, to think, to write, like we're going in. You can purchase tickets to the class on my website, which is coachbrittanynicole.com. And that's all, folks. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. Remember, healing and growth is a journey and you're never alone. For more weekly insights from me, join my online community at coachbrittanynicoleweekly.com. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably where I've been before, looking for solutions, wanting to grow and make changes in your life, and maybe you're not sure how to get started with that. I totally get it. I understand. I can help you with that. Visit my website, coachbrittanynicole.com, to find out more about my training methodology and schedule a free 30-minute session with me. Until next time, take care of yourself and keep going.